It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton back in Texas. I think if you joined us last week, maybe the last couple of weeks, I did the show remotely from up in northern Colorado on our elk and bear hunts. We had an exciting time up there, I want to tell you. Had some close encounters with mountain lions, one really, really close at 12 feet. A guy that I was hunting, that I took out hunting, he had one twice, actually, once within 12 feet, and the cat just circled back behind him up on a ridge, and we managed to get out of there without any real problems. But we hunted the same water hole, the elk wallow, that afternoon, and I'll be the cat came back, and that time we left with the cat inside. It just wouldn't leave. So hopefully the rancher is going to be able to take care of that cat when the season opens in November. I believe it's the latter part of November when mountain lion season opens up there, but the rancher told me that cat, you know, was up to no good. One that has lost its fear of man is definitely, you know, something that you have to contend with. At one point, we had over 100 head of elk migrate through. My nephew, who's the camp cook, was back at camp at the cabin, probably 2 miles, 2.5 miles distant with a spotting scope. He counted over 100 head of elk migrating through right at the base of Sleeping Giant Mountain. It's kind of a natural funnel there where the grade is semi-level, then it goes almost straight up into rock cliffs. Those elk were traveling right at the base of that mountain. That particular day, I had an elk hunter in a stand probably 200 yards from me where I was bugling on this old road back in the back. I couldn't see, but I heard the elk coming through. He counted over 80 head of elk at 60 to 70 yards coming through the black timber there. He didn't get a shot, but the sound he described as running water, I heard the same thing. It's crazy how you would think that elk could sound like running water, but their hooves clicking and hitting those logs, those old lay-down aspen trees and spruce, it did. It sounded exactly like water running. They were all coming through at the same time. But a lot of fun stuff happened up there, a lot of exciting things. You know, I drive an electric. We all use electric ATVs, off-road units that are made by Ken Blackstock up in Plano golf carts. They're real, real rugged. I drove mine all over that country for 3 weeks, up some steep grades. When I was loading it up, the hubs do spin on those things, and just as I was loading it up, getting it on the ramp, the hubs, one of the left rear hubs spun on it, which is a common thing with those remodeled Easy-Go golf carts. That's the way that it keeps the metal in the hub is softer than the axle. It keeps from damage happening in, you know, when you put it under a real load. But I thought it ironic, just as I was loading it up, it served its purpose. And a $20 hub, I had it on there in about 15 minutes. But that could have happened to me in some very, very remote country for sure. You know, this week we're going to be a little closer to home. We're going to have guide Seth Vanover here with us. Actually, Seth is standing by right now. And give us an update on the fishing down at Lake Fork. And also some deer hunting. Seth's a rabid East Texas deer hunter. And let him talk some deer hunting with us and give us an update on where the deer are as far as making scrapes. And most of the whitetail right now are in hard horn. They've already rubbed the antlers. So we'll get Seth with us and see what's going on right here in our backyard. Well, Seth, while I've been up there chasing bear and elk and getting molested by mountain lions, you've been down here catching these catfish and crappie. You've been on top of the fishing at Fork, haven't you, bud?
Woo! Here lately, it's just the crappie have been kind of day-to-day, but the catfish, they remain hot, and they're going to get even hotter.
Catfishing, let's concentrate on trying to help some people catch some catfish down at Lake Fork. Folks, our guest is guide Seth Vanover. Now, Seth has been with us many, many times. He does a good job of keeping everybody tuned in on the fishing up here in Northeast Texas, especially at Fork. Seth, what's the pattern right now for catching catfish?
Well, early morning, we're catching them under slip corks in about a foot of water. That is first thing in the morning, at first light for about an hour and a half. you can get under, you can catch them on, you know, fishing real shallow, either under a slip cork or just sitting on bottom. And that seems to be where the bigger fish are right now. But once the sun gets up, that bite dies off, and then you got to come out into a little deeper water. And we're anywhere from 23 to 15 feet right now is your midday all the way up to late afternoon bite. And it's steady. It's one after another.
That is so much fun. Are you still using that locally made catfish bait that you had last time I fished with you?
Oh, yeah, it's Cubby's Cheese Bait. That's all I've been using.
Well,
and I can't keep it in the boat.
I know that. And what I liked about that particular bait, folks, if you're a cat fisherman, you'll be able to relate. But a lot of catfish baits are stinky, smelly. Well, this is not a cologne smell, but I'm going to tell you, it's the cleanest smelling effective bait that I've used as far as a catfish bait. Now, you're using that on a number 4 or 6 hook. What size hook now?
It's a number 4 treble.
Yeah.
That's all I use. And when we're early morning, when we're fishing with no weight.
Okay.
Just a 4 treble with a little wad of that bait on there. And later in the day when we go deeper, I'll put a little 8-ounce pinch weight on it. And the only reason I do that is just to get down to the bottom faster.
Seth, the catfish, when they're shallow, are they nailing the bait pretty hard?
Some of them are and some of them aren't.
Okay.
Typically, your bigger fish are pecking at it.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller ones are the ones that come out here and try to take the rod out of the boat. But the bigger ones, they'll peck at it, we'll kind of pull it away, and then you feel your rod load up, and you set the hook, and it'll be an 11-pound channel cat up in a foot of water.
That's weird. I've noticed that, especially with channel catfish. You know, the smaller ones, I guess they're thinking, hey, I better grab this and go, or somebody's going to beat me to it. You know,
I don't know. I guess that may be it, but that's what's happening right now.
The big ones are, so if you just feel a tap-tap, not a hard pull, will stay ready because it might be one of those 11-pounders, right?
Right, and it just kind of, yeah, we're pulling, easing back on the rod, yeah, to pull it away from them or to see if they actually got it. And if you feel your rod loaded up, you set the hook on him.
The average size down there, Seth, I know when I fished with you, you know, not too long ago in the summer, we were catching a lot of 2 to 4 pounders. Is that still common, or are they still what I consider larger than average channel catfish?
No, oh, yeah, that hadn't changed. I mean, we'll catch a few dinks here and there, the smaller, you know, I mean, they're legal fish.
Mm-hmm.
They're 12 to 14 inches, but we don't keep those.
Right. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. On Facebook, I've seen some crappie pictures that you posted. Have you got a crappie update for us?
The crappie, it's day-to-day, but if you hit it on the right day, you're gonna fill the freezer, and we've hit it the right days here lately. I fished Sunday and Monday this past week, nothing but crappie. Sunday was a little tough. Didn't catch that many crappie all day, and that now it's Monday morning. I probably caught 75, and I fished the same pattern.
Same program.
It's weird.
Are you catching the crappie fairly deep?
Well, we're fishing deep water, but the crappie themselves aren't that deep. I'm fishing 35 to 40 foot of water, but I'm only catching the crappie 15 to 16 feet down.
Okay, and probably live minnows?
Minnows and jigs. Uh-huh. I had more success on jigs Monday than I did minnows.
Wow. Well, now's a good time to get out there at Fork and sack the freezer up. We're going to, you know, Seth, people that want to connect with you, Facebook is a good way to do it, isn't it? Lake Fork Cat and Crappie?
Yes, sir. Everything's updated there. I post all the pictures, what we've been doing, and that's a great way to keep up with what's going on.
It really is. It's a good kind of a running fishing update is what it is, Lake Fork Cat and Crappie. And then, of course, the website, I guess, is lakeforkcatandcrappie.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
It sure is.
Well, here in a little bit, I'll a lot of folks may have some questions and want to call you. I'll get you to leave a phone number. Let's shift gears. Do your deer hunting a lot like I've started. I think you're one reason that I've started doing this. But I've got plenty of really good feeders, but I've been baiting a spot back where I killed a pretty good buck, you know, not a right. monster buck, three-year-old last year. You bait areas, Seth, without feeders, don't you?
Yeah, I hand feed everything. I don't have a feeder anywhere.
I know, and that kind of changes the way you have to look at deer hunting. There was a time when I thought, okay, I'm going to use my feeders. I'm not even going to go in there, in this anywhere near it for a month or 3 weeks before deer season. But what I've learned, when you're into a patch of woods and out, in and out, you know, midday, don't go in there at 7 in the morning probably, but right. when you do that, you don't disturb the deer. The deer, I think they kind of get used to you.
They do. You got to have a unique situation to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, daily access to your hunting ground.
Right.
You know, people that live a long way from
it. Can't do it.
You know, they're not going to have that option.
Right.
But I'm fortunate enough to have the option. I deer hunt 5 minutes from my house.
And so do I, you know.
Yeah,
So if you have that option where you can go in and probably don't have to bait it every day. For instance, I'm a little bit later today, I'm going to head down and probably put out a couple of gallons, and I spread it around in the leaves so that, you know, of course, the deer are not the only thing that's going to eat it. It's coons and... And I'm all about hogs anyway, so if the hogs come, that's fine. But,
oh, yeah.
But you know, I mean, I've been putting out a lot. That's a lot of corn, way more than you'd put out with a feeder. But check it about every couple of days, and I'm very, very anxious to check my camera. I haven't checked it since I've started this hand baiting about 2 days ago. So it's a good way to do it if you're close enough to the area that you're going to hunt, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is, and you know, there's another added benefit to it. I'm going to get a feeder stolen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people are not going to see that feeder, and it's like, wait a minute, there must be a deer stand around here and start poaching your stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another way to kind of keep things low profile, and the deer notice it.
They definitely do, and you know, now I have killed bucks over corn feeders, especially out in the Edwards Plateau, the Hill Country, and West Texas, I have. But I'll tell you what, over regular feeders, the bucks where I hunt them, I have never seen a good buck at a feeder. That's crazy, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it is.
The does will hit it, you know, hit these feeders. And, of course, when the rut starts where there's does, that scent goes a long, long way, and it pulls bucks in. But I like your theorem, and I really learned it from you, baiting these areas. So I'd advise that anybody that's close to where they're going to be deer hunting, every other day, get out there and put out, yeah, maybe put out a gallon, you know. Seth, I know you do, and you're very successful at it, too. We're just about out of time. Let's do this. Let's leave a phone number. Seth Vanover, folks, if you need some fishing information down at Lake Fork, we'll give him a call or check him out there at Facebook or on the website. How do they reach you, Seth?
The number is 903-736-4557.
Okay. Well, we're going to get you back soon. I want to compare notes with you, what you're seeing down there where you hunt, and then I'm going to, maybe our next show that I can get you on possibly, well, we'll see, tell everybody what kind of deer we're seeing. And, of course, bow season opens in about a week, so it's time to get ready, isn't it?
I'll be fishing, but I am ready.
All right, Seth. We'll get you back soon, buddy. Thanks,
bud.
Well, folks, that wraps our show up today. I really appreciate you tuning in. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Night Sight, Margaret Holmes Seasoned Canned Goods, Shock Strap, Sun Optics USA, Raptor Razor, and Snap Lock Hunting Blinds. Tune in this time next week, and we're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.